Okay, let's get right on the stick here. We've got, I have a special guest today. I actually had a lady interviewing me for a magazine called Prescott Dog. Now, don't you laugh. It really is a magazine. And she brought up about this gentleman by the name of Don Campbell, and she was very passionate about what all he's doing and whatnot. I find it a very interesting story. We're going to try to keep it from being too technical, but any of you who want to be on the technical side are welcome to call in. The magic thing that he said to me was when he told me that Dr. Terry Lovell was very interested in what he does, and he'd taken classes from Terry Lovell. And, of course, all of you out there know I've taken some master's classes from Terry Lovell, and as far as I'm concerned, he is hands down one of the most interesting people there is. And so on that note, I'd like to introduce Don Campbell. Don, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here
today. Yeah. Well, why don't you tell everybody a bit about yourself and how you kind of got started in this, and then we'll get right into the meat of it.
Well, I'll be 75 in October, and I was sitting there at my computer one day, and I was thinking, I wonder what it would take to complete school. And so I called the counselor, one of the counselors at Yavapai, and the counselor told me to come on down. And I went down and saw Barbara Gardner, and Barbara told me what I would have to do. Now, I'd actually gone to college in 1957 to about 1962, and so doing, I'd gone to the University of Washington. Turns out that I could not transfer many of my credits into the system. And they told me what I could do, so I signed up for some classes. As I signed up for the classes, I realized that I could use some of the technology I've been developing for another project. And so I took the classes that I was taking, which were three in number at that time, and I applied the technology to studying. And this was a process of indexing every word and number within the documentation that I had. And when I did that, the results were helpful to me in doing it. At the end of the semester, I had a 4.0, and that was the highest grade point that I'd ever had in my life. And as a result, I thought to myself, maybe there's an opportunity in this to use it for other students. And so I talked to Dr. Bartels, and he indicated some interest on that. So as we started the next semester, I indexed all of his notes and PowerPoint displays, and we tried that. And then I went on to Professor Lovell, and he expressed some interest in it too. So I created a web page for each of these gentlemen. And on that web page, I allowed them to put all their notes. And I also put on available to the students roughly 25,000 digital books that they could access that were copyright free. The advantage being that they could copy and paste from these books as freely as they wanted to. And this was a major issue to the university or the college because they're very sensitive to the copyright issues. In so doing, when Professor Terry Lovell saw that, he decided to test it, and we put in a word that we could test, and we tested for Dr. Bartels' inventory of information, or what we refer to as content. And we were able to find that word in less than a second among all the words that were there in the notes. Then we took that same word and put it into the 25,000 books, digital books, and were able to go from Prescott to Montreal, Canada, and back to Prescott in 4/100ths of a second, finding roughly 54 books, and the results were impressive to the nth degree, because now the students could have access to not only the notes, but to a library. If you go to a standard library, the task ahead of you is to find a word that's in the books. There's no shortage of books. The real problem is that you can't do that. That's been somewhat overcome by some other processes, such as Google. And Wikipedia. The teaching community as a whole does not like to use Wikipedia because Wikipedia really isn't books. it's like an encyclopedia of information, and they, the professors as a whole don't like you to quote from Wikipedia because you're not quoting from the book. You're quoting from somebody that wrote about general information. Google, on the other hand, has the ability through its 450,000 servers and indexing 100 million websites worldwide, is able to deliver those kind of time frames. But if you were to Google the same word, you'd end up with 540,000 hits, and that'd be 10 hits per page, and that'd give you 54,000 pages to go through to find out what you want. So we're not Google. We have something that actually works better than Google. If you're doing straight research, looking for a textbook or a book that somebody wrote in the past. Many of these books that come from an earlier period of time are superior to a lot of the books we have today, because the people at that time, whether they're monks or whoever they were, spent an enormous amount of time writing the books. And because we're talking humanities or Western civilization about these types of books, you'll find that nothing's really changed in the from the Egyptian time, let's say, up to the current time. If you go back 95 years, you're in the current period when you're talking about the whole of the previous period. So these books are of deep interest to professors, and we took an interest in that. So we're doing that now with several professors, and we're looking for several more to do that. And on the 24th of August, I will meet with the dean of the division, who's going to introduce me to some other professors who are also interested in that.
So you might also add, Don, that you actually did the entire Bible.
Yes, I actually had done the entire Bible much earlier, and we have a multitude of Bibles. There's probably at least 100 Bibles out there that you could index, but you have to. The Bibles are sort of a separate issue, in the sense that some Bibles are copyrighted, and the people are very jealous about letting anybody have access. We have access to the New American Standard Bible that's developed by the Lockman Foundation. And the Lockman Foundation gave us permission to do that. And if you go on the site that we'll talk about and you drop down to Christian books, the search box for Christian books, we have roughly 15,000 books that are indexed there, including the Lockman New American Standard Bible on the thing. So it's dramatic to look at because it's fast and it's accurate and it gets results right away.
And folks, I'm telling you, I'm not a real computer guy. You know, I read my emails and whatever, but Don demonstrated this to me this afternoon, and when he says almost instantaneously, it is unbelievable. He put in a word and it searched something like 30,000 books and came up with, on that particular word, there was something like 50 or 60 books that you had, I think.
It's 540 hits.
540 hits. Yeah. And it highlights the word and whatever, and this all took maybe a second at the most, if that. So it really is phenomenal. And it is such a good educational tool. I guess one of the main reasons I was especially interested in bringing you in was that your reasoning behind this was so good in the fact that what you're trying to do is help people, broaden their learning and do a much better job.
That's correct. The opportunity was to help all students, no matter what age they were, at a very modest cost, if any, and to allow them to do that. The real problem is, in today's world, is that they've piled on so much information, both the internet and the libraries, of which you can't access a lot of it. Some of the information that's on the internet, the parent would not want the child to look at. And USB memory stick allows us to control that issue. On the other hand, if they want to use the internet, because for whatever reason they're able to do that very quickly as well. So perhaps the most striking thing was to get the good grade point with a minimum of effort. And I can do that for any student that wants to try to use this approach, because it's easy. And I would encourage adults to consider their perhaps youngsters going to college, junior college or regular college, to look at this system of application on a thing. I've showed this to a couple of counselors at other schools, because I'll be graduating this next December, and they can't believe how easy it is to find what they have been looking at for all the time they've been in school.
Well, when we come back, we're going to be coming up here to a hard break, Don. When we come back, we're going to take several hits at letting people know how you can be reached or contacted via email or whatever. So we will be continuing this. I want to remind everybody to call on 541-1016, or you can log on to kyca.info, I-N-F-O. And we're going to be taking a hard break here shortly. And, I'm sorry, I've got a whole minute left, so it does give me a little more time. We're going to be coming back, and we'll get into some more detail. I would appreciate anybody calling in. Any of you that know Dr. Terry Lovell, you don't take it lightly. Of course, as far as I'm concerned, he has a mind like a computer in his own right, Terry does. But you can totally understand that if Terry Lovell is impressed with this, there's good reasoning behind it. So we're going to be wrapping up here, and I've got 30 seconds. Well, this is now, if I was really trying to cram a lot in here, WC, you know, it would be, you'd have me down to 10 seconds and no time at all. But, we should have an interesting afternoon. I noticed the lights are being light up. I'm more secure, so we will be right back. Hang in there and give us a call. Thank you. And welcome back to KYCA Today. This is Roley Simmons filling in for Councilman or Councilman-to-be, hopefully, or whatever, Steve Blair, who is this fourth Tuesday, is over at City Hall. Keep an eye on everybody. I have a special guest by the name of Don Campbell with me. We're discussing a new situation he's got, which is quite interesting, and I want to move right on because Greg has been very patient to hang on the line there. Greg, are you still there?
I am here.
Well, thank you for being so patient. I'm sorry we had a hard break and we had to move right on. Did you have a question for Don?
I did, and Cam, I was just wondering if I'm kind of a layman when it comes to all of this. Are these all digitized books that you've compiled?
Yes, these books are all digitized, and they're all in text format, although we have recently put them in PDF and HTML format as well for the reader.
Now, is this, and from what I understand, I was kind of in the middle of something, is this like your search engine is almost like a glossary in effect?
The search engine is licensed, and they have their own proprietary method. But the search engine is used by Boeing's World Bank, IRS, FBI, and those types of people, Department of Homeland Defense. It's sort of an industrial-based search engine that works off of 104 different formats and 56 different languages.
Okay, and the way Roley was saying that, if you access this, it's not like you're waiting for Adobe to load it up. It's pretty much right there.
It's instantaneous. It's we get responses all the way from going from here to Montreal and back in, let's say, 5/100 of a second. And on a flash drive, it's well under a second.
Wow. Okay. I was just wanted to throw that out there and just get the nuances of it.
Yeah. You
have a good day. It sounds fascinating. I will check it out definitely.
Okay, you asked how we loaded it, and I have to index everything that's, it takes about 6 to 8 hours to index 30,000 books, which is 1.5 billion words, and then we just load that index and the software onto the USB stick, and then load the books themselves on there. So the index is independent of the books.
And I just have a tongue-in-cheek question. Do you think you could load the new health bill in there in a second?
Well, I don't know about that.
You are, yeah, Greg, you are asking a lot.
I think it's awesome.
All right. Keep up the good work. You have a good day.
Thank you very much. Bye. Appreciate it. That was... I'm sorry. There we go. That was good of Greg to call in. Well, that was a good question. I'm glad that he brought that up because it's a little tough. It's too bad we don't have the, you know how Charles Osgood always says, I'll see you on the radio. It's too bad they can't see us on the radio right now because you could, having seen this in operation, it's really very interesting.
Mechanics of the thing are fairly simple once you've done it 100 times. And the first time around it was complex, but it's like all things, maybe like broadcasting, and it becomes simpler. But when we give a product to a ordinary customer, they'll be able to put it in and it will activate automatically, and they'll be brought up to what we refer to as a dialogue window, and they will type in any search word they want at that point. Now, that's on the USB stick. For the people that are in the classroom or the students, they'll be going to the website and doing somewhat the same thing. It'll look a little different because it's on a different version. So that's how it works.
Don, to follow up on Greg's question, how do you get the data in there? Let's take, for instance, you've got a book, and you want to get that book in there. Is it already digitized for you?
Yeah, it's already digitized for us. And then that's an interesting story, too, because the typically all these books have been done the same way. The books are essentially scanned by hand on a like a Hewlett-Packard scanner, for example. Usually you have to use a flat scanner.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use a document feeder because you do that. And then when you scan the document, you then have to OCR the document. That's optical character recognition.
Mm-hmm.
That process is very fast with a high degree of accuracy, but in the end you need to sort of clean up the act. And the way it's done commonly is that the people who are doing this send a scan page as an image and a OCR page that matches that to a single person who has the duty to do one page a day. And so these 30,000 books were done over a long period of time.
Very labor intensive.
I would guess that it was like 1,250,000 hours that was spent preparing the stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, as an ex-mayor, I'm looking for work to do. I guess maybe I could hire on as one of these page turners or something like that, Al. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, with the nice weather, we could just get a couple of pages and go out here underneath the trees here by the beautiful banks of the Granite Creek and, you know, go to town, do a little proofreading.
That would. Well, we're going to take another break, folks. Remind you, the number here is 541-1016. Please give us a call. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Once again with KYCA Today, this is Rolly Simmons, and I have a special guest by the name of Don Campbell in with me. I want to apologize to all of you out there that WC has disappointed us today since we do not have Neil Diamond, and I know many of you are disappointed. I do not want you to call me or anything else because it's out of my control. He has wielded that power that he has. These engineers, you know, Al, they carry way too much weight.
Well, you know, one thing we haven't heard yet, and maybe we won't today, is that little music that comes on that says, call Steve now, lines are open.
I can sing Sweet Caroline, but I don't think we want to go there.
Okay. Well, we've got Don Campbell here with us. And, Don, during the break we were talking, I would like for you to give everyone, there's no doubt there are people there at home right now or in their car and are thinking, gee, I'd like to know more about this, but I don't have time to call in. How can folks get a hold of you to get more information about what you've got, Don?
Yeah, they can call me directly at 928-277-4698, or they can email me at dcamp0078@gmail.com. That's dcamp, for my name, D. Campbell, 0078@gmail.com.
Okay. That's good. What did you were kind of wanting to talk about your passion a little bit here. We slip in a little bit about that because I know this all got started with your passion to go back to school at the age of 70. And I went back to school. I went back and took classes from Terry Lovell, and I was about 50. Let's see, I was about 51, 52. And I don't know about you, but I actually, honestly and truly, there are some out there that won't be surprised at this, but I BS'd my way through college, and I'm the only one it hurt. It always bothered me. I always wondered what could have happened had I been more serious. I was able to, well, anyhow, I got through far too easy. And the thing that I enjoyed attending Terry Lovell's class, his classes, was, you know, I was more mature. I was very serious about it, and I had the opportunity, like you, I made A's, but I had the opportunity to really get my teeth into it and see what I could honestly do when I was serious about it.
Yes, my thoughts about that are that after going back and doing what other people have been doing and continuing education, was wondering why I hadn't done it earlier. And but I'd say that there's never too late. I was told by someone down at the college, at Yavapai College, that the average age of a student at Yavapai is, I believe, 39. So there's a lot of people that are doing continuing education, and I should have done that a lot earlier. And I explained this to my business associate in New York, who was a CPA by profession, and named Joe McDonald, and Joe says that it's interesting how we defer doing continuing education, and there's really no reason to do it except fear. And I think that the bottom line of it was that I had to overcome my fear, and I decided to overcome it because I had technology that would help me assemble the work I was doing to it and analyze it quicker, and the results were impressive on the thing, and that's what caught the attention of the professors as well.
You initially started this with doing the Bible. How long did it take you to copy an entire Bible?
At the early stages, I was doing Bible content. Let's call it content. Whatever's in any of these books is simply called content. The content was difficult to get a hold of in the early stages of the PC because virtually everything was licensed. And so you had to get that. So, but I decided to put together a file for each chapter in the Bible. There'd be 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and each file would have on it the scripture, commentary from Matthew Henry, some discipleship notes, and the treasury scripture knowledge. And so it had five parts to it, and so it had 1,189 chapters. The next thing became of issue was finding whatever was in 1,189 chapters, and that was solved by the software that I acquired. But that was back in DOS days. Since then, they've made lots of advances, and you saw that earlier, how quickly it works. So they refined that. So I might have started on version 2, and we're all the way up to version 9 now, but it just simply gets better. So gathering content was going pretty well when I discovered there was access to a lot of commentaries. The commentaries were typically in what they refer to as ASCII text mode. And the problem with ASCII text is that it has hard returns going across the page. It becomes rather difficult to read it. So today they take and put those text formats in PDF and other ones which allow to have the books be in a full justified mode, like an ordinary magazine or a book that we buy, a more contemporary book. And so as we indexed those, the thing kept getting bigger and bigger. And then I had a fellow that was a professor at Cal State Fullerton, I think it was, in California. And he encouraged me to add more secular books. And so that I found a source where I could get 25,000 secular books. It took a week on a cable connection, a high-speed connection, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to download all those books. Then I got them. We had to go through the decision process of how to organize them. Ultimately, when we put them on the server in Montreal, it was decided to abandon all these ordinary conventions in terms of how we would do this by categories or whatever. They all developed serial numbers. And so today they're all in serial numbers. You'll actually see those serial numbers at the bottom of our page that we have on the website. And they're over there. The server is a very high-end unit that goes through this stuff very quickly, I think, as you'll see. So once you have the content, you decide that you want to take and to make it in other formats. And the other formats I've already mentioned are like PDF and HTML. And the reason for that is because you can get full justification to the look of it. So typically students don't like to work in basic text format because they have a lot of formatting to do. If you were to copy and paste a 300-page book into your system, you'd have all this work to clean up the format.
Now, that was quite a little bit there, Al. Have you got that all down?
I've experienced exactly what Don was talking about.
Yeah.
By the time you get all of those paragraphs, and in the old days, we used to call them carriage return line feeds.
That's right.
That goes back to your teletype days, by the
way.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Well, let me interrupt us here. We have another break. I see WC doing that to us again here, so 541-1016. Hang in there, folks. And welcome back to KYCA Today. This is Roley Simmons filling in for Steve Blair, and we just had the lovely Sally Barton sticker head in here. What a neat lady she is, and she was thanking me for doing the show on Saturday, and I was thanking her for giving me that opportunity. And, you know, it's quite a public service that they do on Saturdays, and I put a little plug in for her. It's we have you covered.
We got you covered.
Or we got you covered, yep. 10 to 12 on Saturdays on KYCA. Well, Don, we've got just a little wrap-up. We don't have an awful lot of time left. I'm sure you've got some. Would you give your access numbers and everything one more time, and then you can kind of give me a little wrap-up here? I know while we were on the break, you no doubt had some things that you were wish you had said, so this is a good opportunity for you.
Okay, I can be reached at 928-277-4698, and my email address is dcamp0078. @gmail.com. And I would just encourage anybody of any age to return for continuing education. And that's my mantra now. And I really believe it, that we could all benefit by doing that. And that there's an amazing amount of supplemental help programs out there on the economic area of the what we need to do. And so therefore, the cost is not high. The cost of attending a junior college is about $50 per credit hour. That's in contrast to going to the other schools that are run from $300 to $600 an hour. So your local community college is an outstanding place to improve your education. And we have ways that we're trying to make it easier for you to study. So that's what will be available for you to help you at any time you need help.